We are back. I'm so thrilled to welcome you to Hope Survives podcast, the first episode of season 3. It is also the first day of Brain Injury Awareness Month, and that just feels like it's time to celebrate. So thanks for tuning in, and let's get started.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did, and that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope. With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives. Welcome back. It feels good to say that. Welcome to season 3 of Hope Survives podcast. To our faithful listeners who've listened to seasons 1 and 2, thank you for your patience as we took a bit of a break here. And to those who are new and this is your first time, welcome. Welcome to the family. As I said in the intro, as you heard, I'm Christabel and I am a brain injury survivor. I started this podcast to help other people with brain injuries. It's really a passion project for me. I've heard so many things from caregivers and family members and friends and survivors that have said how much the podcast has helped them to know that they're not alone or connected them with a practitioner or with our Zoom group. And it has just warmed my heart. I definitely felt a bit guilty about stopping the podcast for a break last year. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the interview. We talk a little bit about planning and pacing and burning out and taking breaks and stuff like that. But yeah, I did. I felt like I should be able to do this because I want to make a difference. But it took a lot of time and energy, and I felt really, really, really burnt out. And so I had to pray and decide that, you know what, it's okay to take a bit of a break. And I felt really bad that I wasn't able to continue putting out weekly episodes. But even in the year break, it amazed me how many people were still discovering the podcast. And it made me really encouraged to know that the episodes are still living out there and helping people, even while I was able to take a much needed rest for my brain and focus on some other areas of my life over the last year. A big one is that I got engaged and I'm going to be getting married soon. I'll probably do an episode about relationships now that I'm more public with that. But I'm just really grateful for him, and it's changed my life. He has learned so much about brain injury and has seen me through so many different symptoms and struggles and ups and downs in my journey the last couple years. And so I'll be getting married in just a couple months. I'll keep you guys updated, of course. But yeah, so my life has had a lot of different things going on. Still taking baby steps on recovery and moving forward. And it felt like it was time to come back, not only because March 1st is today, Brain Injury Awareness Month. It is a Friday, which I always release my podcasts on Friday. So it just felt, what's that phrase? Serendipitous. I don't know if that's the word I was thinking of, but it just felt like it was time. And I was telling my fiance, I was like, hey, like, I actually feel excited about doing this podcast again. Like, I miss it. I had gotten so burnt out last year that I just lost all my cognitive energy and my love for anything. And something I noticed in myself was that the things that I normally loved were draining me. Like even doing music, playing guitar and singing and working on songs was draining me. Even doing Zoom groups or doing the podcast, like every aspect of my life, things that normally give me joy and energy were just sucking the life out of me. And so I made the decision to kind of halt a lot of areas of life and allow my brain some time to rest and heal. And I can tell you that I feel more refreshed than I had in a long time. So, if you are struggling or wondering, I don't know, should I take this break from this? What if I can never come back? You know, sometimes we have this fear of this FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. Or we think if we set something down that we're disappointing someone, people pleasing anyone. I definitely deal with that. So we either think that we're trying to please others or we're trying to please ourselves or we're trying to prove something to ourselves. Like, I can do it. I can do it. Even with my brain injury, I can do it. Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to. Just because you can does not mean you should. Okay. And so give yourself grace and take breaks. And so, but I will say I'm very, very thankful and grateful to be able to come back at this time and to be able to share in the joy of Brain Injury Awareness Month this March here with you on the podcast, as well as our Zoom groups. We have two meetings coming up. If you are available and would like to join our Zoom support group, it's usually the second Tuesday of the month, so it'll be March 12th. And if you'd like to join my Brain Injury Bible Study group, which is a faith-based group for brain injury survivors to talk about, you know, the spiritual grief aspects of things and about the Bible and the Lord from a Christian fellowship. It is on March 9th. So you can join either one of those with us on Zoom. All that info is on hopeafterhendry.com. And I'm also heading to Washington, D.C. next week for Brain Injury Advocacy Day with the Brain Injury Association of America. Another update since last year is I have been asked to join the board of directors for the Brain Injury Association of Pennsylvania. So I'm thrilled to have accepted that position. And I will be meeting with members of Congress to help advocate for legislation to reinstate the TBI Act, which is expiring this year and really needs to be reinstated. And so you can look for an episode in a couple weeks. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about the experience in DC and what happened and just more about the Traumatic Brain Injury Act. So you can look forward to that in a few weeks from now. But for today, I have an amazing guest with us. Her name is Allie Rayum. She's one of my dear friends. And she was previously on episode number 39, Applying Creativity to Brain Injury Recovery. So today we have an inspiring and honest conversation about the challenges on the brain injury journey. Allie is an award-winning artist, public speaker, disability advocate, and spokesperson who's an encouraging light in the journey of overcoming brain injury. And she also has started doing art since her brain injuries, and she has an art business called Embracing Unique, which the title of this episode, Embracing Your Unique Brain Injury Journey, kind of was a little nod to that. She also hosts a virtual Life After Concussion support group and a group called Rise Up, which is a social hour for individuals navigating life with disability. Allie serves on the Brain Injury Council of Massachusetts, as well as the Franklin Disability Commission. And so you can connect with Allie on her social medias. She is very active to, as she says, multiply hope on there. And she loves to teach and educate and advocate. And so this conversation is really encouraging, and it's the perfect one to kick off Brain Injury Awareness Month, if I do say so myself. She is just a light, and she's learned to celebrate how far she's come, even with her continual daily challenges. And she really models what it means to have grace for yourself, even in the hard days. So I'm looking forward to sharing this with you. Thanks for being here. Stay connected. You can connect with me at hopeafterheadinjury.com, at hopeafterheadinjury on Instagram, or at my Instagram at Christabel Braden, or christabelbraden.com if you want to see my music. So it's either Hope After Head Injury or Christabel Braden. You can get me anywhere. So connect with me. I'd love to also, as I mentioned earlier, see you on our Zoom groups this month. And again, it's good to be back. Thanks for being here. Let's get started to the interview. Today, I am so excited to welcome back Allie Rayum to the Hope Survives podcast. Welcome back, Allie.
Yay, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks, Christabel.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. When I was thinking about who should I invite for Brain Injury Awareness Month, you were one of the first names that popped in my head because you do such a good job balancing the struggle and the realness of brain injury with the hope and encouragement. And I think that's something that our listeners need to hear. And so today, we're just going to talk. We're just going to have some girl talk conversation, yeah. TBI talk. Sorry, I shouldn't have said girl talk because guys listen to this too.
Touché.
But you know what I meant. The vibes.
The vibes.
It's been too long since I've done podcasts and I'm awkward now. Okay. So why don't we start out while you share some of your story with us and about your TBI journey.
Absolutely. So I'm Allie. I live in Massachusetts, and I first sustained a TBI from concussion in February of 2016. And prior to that, I was a full-time physical education teacher, a part-time kids ministry director, a coach, like so many active roles with like teaching and coaching. And then after sustaining that TBI, I was a completely different person. I was unable to do any of those jobs. It was replaced with brain fog and challenged decision making and headaches and vision changes, balance changes, all of those things, the whole slew of symptoms. So I stayed out of work for the end of that school year. I attempted to start the next school year teaching. However, it was December of 2016, I accidentally sustained another TBI, another concussion, and then unfortunately had a medication reaction from some of the medications that were being tried to help me with symptoms. And I ended up in the hospital at a 10% functioning level from that whole perfect storm. So from that point forward, I was in and out of inpatient rehab care, home care, hospitals, ERs, and went from being nonverbal and unable to walk, talk, or do anything myself to where I am today, 8 years later.
It's been quite a journey for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what was some of the initial rehab process like, and what symptoms do you still live with today?
Well, initially, all the rehab and symptom management stuff was pretty obviously reactive, right? So it was sort of like, I wake up this day, what am I dealing with today? Is it a headache? Is it losing my balance and working on having strategies at home to navigate that stuff? But I've done a lot, and I mean a lot, of physical therapy, some occupational therapy, a lot of speech therapy for more of the cognitive rehab piece. And then I've worked with functional medicine practitioners, a chiropractor. I've really done like a huge laundry list of different modalities. And then today, now at this point, the things that I still navigate are fatigue, but I also navigate other medical conditions. Some of them were really brought out by the concussion that I didn't know that I have. And then some were brand new. So something actually like narcolepsy, So the fatigue sometimes can be like, oh, I cognitively feel tired and my brain needs a break. But then other times it's actually narcolepsy kicking in and it's physical fatigue and I just fall asleep. So that's a big one. And just energy management overall, having to really pace myself and choose what I do in a day. And then the other big one that I'm still working on is vestibular related. So that is all the balance, proprioception, and even reaction time type of things.
Thanks for sharing, Allie. So you mentioned energy management. And one of the things that I love about you is you are very intentional with your coping strategies and intentional with how you communicate them to other people. Allie has a really great Instagram account where she talks a lot about coping strategies and things like that. So what would you say are your top coping strategies that you use that could help others that are going through a similar journey?
So I'm going to say two, and one is what to do. And one is like I learned what not to do. So one, the top one for me is communication. If there's one strategy in the world that I have found to be the most impactful and beneficial, it's first communicating with myself, which is listening to what my body's telling me, but not over-focusing on it where that kind of messes with my mind. And I think maybe I'm doing worse than I really am, right? So communicating with myself first, checking in with myself, recognizing what I need and what could be beneficial for me, and then communicating it with other people. Because I used to live a life where I felt like, oh, well, if someone wants to know, they can just ask, right? Or I expect friends and family to just know. And that, I learned, isn't really fair. And that didn't really work for me. So I had to start being honest and vulnerable and just say, hey, this is how I'm feeling right now. This is what I could use help with. And do it in a way that's also not demanding, right? We're still respectful. Like, if you could help me with this, here's how it could benefit me. So definitely communication. And then on the flip side, what I learned does not help is not communicating and pretending that everything's fine and isolating myself and saying like, oh, well, it's just not worth it because they don't get it. And no, like that didn't get me anywhere. So I definitely try to hone in on that communication.
Yeah, that's really good. I feel like things go up and down though with brain injury. I use that term up and down a lot, but I know in my personal recovery as well, like there are seasons that I feel like I'm okay and I'm kind of getting by, and then there's a crash and burn setback. And then there's times that I feel like, oh, I think I actually might be doing really well. And then that's quickly followed by I push myself too hard and now I am on the ground. So you mentioned energy management before. Like I've heard you use the terms also planning and pacing. And can you talk a little bit about that process and how that helps to keep some consistency through life?
Yes. So I really first learned about the concept of planning and pacing from Concussion Compass and from Molly Parker, and talking about the, I use it as a traffic light analogy, red light, green light, yellow light, right? What were the activities that I was doing in a day that were taking the most of my energy? That was like the red light. That was like, okay, after you do this, you're going to need to stop, right? And then what were the things sort of in the middle that used a little bit of energy, but didn't throw me over the edge? And that was the yellow. And to give myself a few of those in a day, but not too many. So that middle ground. And then the green light were more restorative activities, things that I could do, an hour could go by and I didn't even realize an hour went by because maybe I'm painting. So it's something I enjoy and it's relaxing, but I'm not just taking a nap, for example. And then it really opened my eyes when I wrote them down. And I have heard this from a lot of people too, where a lot of us don't realize how much we're actually doing in a day. Because after sustaining a brain injury, the cognition it takes to even just get dressed in the morning is like 5 times the average person. So if you're already waking up, deciding what to eat for breakfast, trying to make your breakfast, deciding what to wear, put on the clothes, like all these things take so much energy. When I took the time to write down everything I did in a day, my eyes were open to, wow, I do a lot more than I thought I did. So then I take that information, even screen time. I didn't realize how much screen time I was using and why I was getting so many headaches until I wrote it down. I was like, oh, I could use a little bit of a break in some of those screen times. So learning myself and learning what pushes me too far. And if I have a red light activity, that thing that's like really big in a day, to make sure the rest of my day is green, not trying to do a bunch of the middle ground stuff or even another red, forget it, right? So if I have a really big thing, surround that with restoration. Or if I have a pretty relaxed day, then challenge myself with a few of those middle ground activities so I'm not only in this relaxed state all day, because then it's harder to go from a relaxed state to a demanding state and back and forth.
Yeah, that's so good, Allie. I love that red light, green light, yellow. I said it in the wrong order. Green, yellow, red analogy. And because, yeah, we don't want to push ourselves too hard, but we also have to get things done. And there are also things that we want to do. So it's kind of hard to find that balance. And I love that you have encouraged people to write it down, because also, our memory is not the best. Have you had memory problems with memory, and how do you cope with that?
Absolutely. And in both ways, both from like, I don't have full memory of some things from my past, right? So it's like, it's almost like some things were erased, or maybe my brain's just protecting me with my nervous system and they'll come back eventually. And then memory challenges in the sense of, oh yeah, I was supposed to do that today, right? One is giving myself grace. If I beat myself up about forgetting something, then it just makes it worse. Like, it just adds to the nervous system. So I tell myself, oops, right? I'm human. I made a mistake. My bad. And then I honestly, my top memory support is Siri. I say, you know, hey, Siri, I don't want it to turn on right now. You know, at 2 PM, remind me to start organizing my taxes, right? So then I get a reminder on my phone. And at the same time, I also try not to count on those things too much, because then I'm not actually practicing my own memory. So in the beginning, honestly, my memory was terrible. And then as I've challenged myself to practice remembering stuff on my own and not using devices, it's actually helped my brain gain some of that back. So I do still use strategies, then I also challenge it a little bit.
Thanks for sharing that, Allie. You know, as you were talking, I was just thinking, it's been a while since we have talked. I mean, yeah, we've texted a bit, but we used to talk all the time, like on the phone, and you've done a couple interviews, and I'm just noticing your pace of speech is so fast now. And I remember when it would take so, like, you just said like four sentences in the space of time that before you would have said one. Yeah. And I'm just like kind of amazed over here. So what are some things that you have seen like big improvements on? Like, you could talk a little bit about speech, but if what are other things that you have seen improvements on yourself that you can look back and go, oh, wow, I've come really far?
I love that question, because you know me, I love celebrating things with people, right? And I find that it is really important to take those moments to look back and say, wow, I really have come far, because day to day, it's a little harder to recognize. And so thank you for pointing that out, first of all. And yeah, I think it's practice, right? It's, again, I'm going to say the phrase giving yourself grace at first, because in the beginning, right, first I was nonverbal. Then my speech was super slow or stuttered, and the cognitive processing was associated with that. It wasn't, right, just the actual speech in itself, but the cognition. And I have found that the more, as I said, with memory, the more I've challenged myself and I've put myself in situations to practice, the better it's gotten and has helped me return more back to what I consider my baseline to be from pre-injury even. So at this point, I mean, I honestly just came off of about a month of doing some pretty big new things for the first time since concussion. And for example, one of those things was going to our Massachusetts State House to advocate for legislation to ask them, meet with representatives and senators and ask them to pass certain bills for brain injury. And if you had asked me to do that 4 years ago, definitely not 8 years ago. I mean, I was in a hospital bed, but it would have felt so challenging because one, I wouldn't have even understood what the bill was that I was talking about. Two, I mean, I'd have to go into Boston, and traveling into the city in itself, it was so exhausting just to do that. I wouldn't have even had energy to participate in any of the event. And then so just over time building up, I was able to go to the event. I was able to socialize and meet a whole bunch of people, take a break out in the hall, right? Go back in, eat lunch, take a break, withdraw a little bit, resume the energy, and then go meet with the representatives and senators and stuff. So over time, the more I've practiced, the better I've gotten at everything. I'm at the point where I'm ready to challenge myself more than I ever have. And I'm finding that's helping me to, one, calm my nervous system and remind myself that I am safe. And for example, I also went to church, to a prayer hour instead of a Sunday service. And it was actually really loud. And I kept telling myself, this is worship. This is worship. I'm safe. The noise is good noise. And that really helped me. So also changing my mindset and telling my nervous system, I'm okay. It'll be okay. You're doing okay.
I love that. So what encouragement would you have for someone who is listening to this and they just got an injury and they're searching online about brain injury and they come across this episode and they're like, oh, wow, like this girl's come really far, but I'm in the trenches and I don't know. I don't feel like I can relate to this. Like, you know, what would you tell someone who just got injured and is just trying to figure everything out?
One, I mean, I'm praying for you, truly, because it is hard at the beginning. If I were to go back and say, what would I do again and what would I do differently? One, I would have taken at least a week off of work right away from the beginning. So the concept there being, give yourself space. There's no human on this earth that you have to please and do anything for. What's most important is getting your own health back, because if you try to force yourself to go back to things before you feel ready to, then it's actually going to more negatively impact the recovery and potentially prolong it. And at the same time, it's also really important to, like I've been saying, sort of like dip your toes into testing things and challenging things, because we've learned from the new concussion consensus that has recently come out that it's not good to just sit at home in isolation with earplugs and a hat and sunglasses. Absolutely use those tools in the beginning with the mindset of, I'm going to gradually decrease these things, because it can be really hard to go from in the house, completely quiet, totally covered with whatever tools you're using, to going out into the real world, to a doctor's appointment. That's a huge change of environment between those two things. So start trying to allow yourself to sort of find a middle ground between that, right? Help yourself navigate symptoms. If you go out in public, maybe put the earplugs in. But when you're at home, maybe challenge yourself and say, oh, I'm going to listen to the birds today. I'm going to listen to some soft music today. But overall, do it at the pace that works for you, not for what other people are telling you to do.
Yeah, that's really good. I really appreciate that encouragement to go at your own pace, because I think there's a lot of comparison that either you compare yourself with who you were before the injury and you're like, I used to be able to do this. I should be able to do this. What's wrong with me? Or you compare yourself with your peers and coworkers and friends that do not have brain injuries. And so you're thinking, okay, well, what's wrong with me? Like, or you compare yourself with other people who have had brain injuries and you think, why are they recovering quicker than me? Or you think, oh, they're so much worse off. I shouldn't be complaining right now, you know? And I think, you know, what's that quote? Comparison is the thief of joy. And so any one of those things is going to harm, I think, our mental health and our recovery, and realize that every brain injury is unique. So like one day at a time, your own pace. It's your recovery. It's your journey. And this also goes for caregivers and loved ones and family members. Like your loved one might not be recovering as quickly as you want them to be, but understanding that it's a journey and it's a one day at a time type thing.
It is. And I actually, as you're saying that, Christabel, I remember for myself when I first was able to go back on social media after sustaining the concussions and use my phone again, I came across your Instagram and Molly's. What yours and Molly's were like the two that really stood out to me. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, oh my goodness, they've both sustained concussions. How on earth are they doing this? How are they creating content? How do they, Christabel, how does Christabel have multiple accounts? Like, oh my gosh, I was thinking I could never do that. But I also had to remind myself, I have no clue what's going on behind the screen. And like Christabel and I are friends now, and I know more, that's like, she knows more about me, I know more about her. And I'm saying this for everyone listening, because you may look at either of our social media pages and think they've got it all together. This is so organized and they must be doing great. And honestly, we are. We're doing way better than each of us were years ago. But it has taken us so much practice and time to get here. And you may see an Instagram post, I'll say for myself, go out at, you know, 4 p.m. one day. And it was actually scheduled by me a week ago. And actually on the day it went out, I was laying in bed with a migraine and I wasn't on my phone telling you that I was experiencing a migraine because my head hurt too much to even go on my phone. So to just remember, what you see isn't always everything. And it's not that anyone's trying to hide things. Like, our goal is to put things out there to support everyone. We're not lying. We're not hiding anything. It's just the reality that if we were to put every single thing that we're experiencing out there, we'd be constantly posting. Oh, I feel a headache today. I feel exhausted today. You know, so that comparison definitely is the thief of joy, like you said, and to keep that in mind as you're going through your journeys.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you mentioned the scheduling of posts and things like that, because people go, how do you keep up your podcast and everything? And it was like, well, I would make them like months before. Like, I think the last one we did, like we recorded like 6 months before it actually came out or something like that, because it takes time, you know. And I also had to take a break. And we're just coming back. So it's like, I took over a year that I really could not, I couldn't do it all. Right. So it's like things also come in seasons, and realizing, you know, I know faith is really important to you. And for me, faith is really important to me as well. And I had to like pray about it and say like, well, what are I putting on my plate and what is God giving me to do? Because if those things are not aligned, then I'm overstressing myself. And it could even be as simple as like, you know, the Lord cares about all the little details. So it could even be like, I really feel like this laundry needs to be folded or this thing needs to be done, but it actually could wait till tomorrow. And I'm stressing myself out trying to think about this. Or it could be a bigger thing, like a job thing or a ministry thing or something, where it's like my podcast, for example, like I didn't want to stop it last year. Like I felt guilt about, and I stopped, I used to do live chats every Tuesday. I stopped doing those and I stopped doing the podcast around the same time because I couldn't handle it all. And I had to pray about it and realize, you know what? Like, I think this is something I'm putting on my plate. I spent 7 straight years doing videos every single week. It's okay to take some time to recover and work on my health and other areas of my life. And so I think there's some discernment that comes in with like, is this something that I'm forcing myself to try and do? Or is this something that the Lord has really given me to do today? And I love in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Like, and Jesus also says in Matthew 6, like, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow's enough for today's enough for today, basically. Like, that God will take care of you, like, one day at a time. And I mean, that's something the Lord tells us. And so in my brain injury recovery, that has really helped me. To do it one day at a time. So what aspect has your faith played into all of this?
Well, I'm going to completely agree with everything that you said as well, because one of the hardest things for me was definitely letting go of the control and like not doing as many things as I used to. And I realized that all the roles that I was in before sustaining concussion, I loved all of them. So there was nothing wrong with it. However, I was totally digging myself in a hole. And I realized I was doing a lot of those things for other people, not for honoring what God's given me and giving him glory back. And so I shifted my mindset after concussion to how can I glorify God with everything I'm doing? And how can I use the gifts that he's given me and doing it for the greater good and for the kingdom and not for pleasing anyone or trying to climb up the ladder or because I want to feel wanted. That's been a big thing for me too. Like I live on my own and it's quiet here. I could be twiddling my thumbs one day, but just taking care of myself and walking through my neighborhood and smiling at my neighbors is purpose. And it's the purpose of loving others. And that really helped me to say, you know what, if that's what we've been commissioned to do is to love others as Jesus loves us, then I do have a purpose every single day. I can love people. I can love my neighbors. I can love myself. I can love a friend on a phone call. And that's enough. It's enough because that's what we're called to do. And then I would agree with you too in the faith component of letting go and also using discernment rather than just making decisions either based out of fear, like I don't want to do that because I feel fearful, but instead making decisions that are based out of peace. If I have peace about something, that's the way that I'm going. Instead of if I feel conflicted or if it's from guilt or fear or anything like that, that's not the way to go. So trying not to operate out of guilt and trying to operate out of peace instead.
Yeah, I love that. But I also found that like with dysautonomia and like anxiety, like sometimes it would be hard for me to understand peace. Like, and I think to like Philippians 4 that talks about peace beyond understanding, right? Because like sometimes my nervous system would be so dysregulated and I would just be stuck in flight or fight mode, fight or flight mode. And I would just feel so like keyed up all the time. And it wasn't until I learned like after concussions, it can cause that. And you have to learn how to do deep breathing and you have to do intentional things to calm your nervous system because it's not going to do that for itself. But I let that bleed over into my mental health and I'd be like, oh, I'm so anxious all the time. Actually, it was my heart rate. My heart rate was dysregulated. It wasn't just mental health. And so it's like, you know, just taking a step back and observing yourself and observing your symptoms and being like, am I actually upset or is my body upset right now? Is my brain upset?
Oh, that's good.
Like, is it my mental health or is it just like my body being tired and overwhelmed and overstimulated? I had to learn how to make that distinction, and it's made a huge difference in realizing like my body and my dysautonomia is flaring up and I'm keyed up right now and my brain is overwhelmed because there's bright lights and there's noise and there's stuff going on and I'm exhausted and I'm stressed and I just need to step back rather than going, oh my gosh, my entire life is falling apart. I'm depressed. Like, I'm never going to get out of this. And like, you know, spiraling down that hole.
Oh, absolutely. And what you just said too plays into that identity piece, right? Which is, I feel like where faith can be really helpful too, is thinking in scripture, Jesus says, I am, right? I am. And if Jesus is, I am, then what are we putting after the phrase, I am? If we're walking around constantly saying even, I am tired, I am anxious, I am depressed, I am any of those things, even though you may be feeling those things, it's not who you are. So trying to separate and say, I may feel tired right now, I may feel anxious right now, I may feel some depression, but that's not who I am. And I'm going to tackle that head on because I am so much more than that.
I love that. Can we just talk a little bit more about that identity piece? Because I feel like that's something that really affects brain injury survivors is feeling like I lost the person that I used to be. And how in the world will I come back from this? So what would you say to someone who feels like that?
That's loaded. That's like a whole webinar. because there's so many pieces to it. Let me say this first. feeling that is so valid. I felt that. I think I've heard every single person that I've ever talked to after a concussion say that. So it's real. It is so real. And for myself in that journey, one, I had to allow myself to feel the feelings with it. When I tried to ignore them, then they just, my body held on to it and it just created more symptoms. So one was to allow myself to like look at pictures of when I was a PE teacher and cry about them while I'm looking at them, or chat with a former student and be honest, like, oh, I miss this so much. And just having that support. And then the other thing that's really helped me with that piece is reminding myself, and so all of us, is that we're all born with natural gifts inside of us, right? So the things that you were doing in life prior to sustaining a concussion, you were most likely using those gifts in a certain way that you that worked for you at that time. And you still have those gifts. They're not taken away. You were born with them. So for me, for example, that would be being a teacher. God gave me that gift right from the start. I've known it my whole life. And while I was sad about not returning to being a PE teacher in an elementary school with 40 screaming kids in a gym, I've chosen to flip that and say, well, how can I be a teacher just in a new way? So now I say the world is my classroom. And how can I do that? Social media, speaking at conferences. So it is possible. It's just going to take some transition. And some people do return to the roles that they were in before, but a role and a job are both, again, different than your identity. What you get paid to do does not mean that's who you are at your core. So you're still there. You just need to find a new way to explore what that looks like.
I love that. And I also would add, like, give it time, because when I first got injured, I thought I lost so many pieces of myself. And the farther out that I get from the injury and the farther that I go in the recovery journey, the more that I'm noticing these little pieces of myself and my personality that I thought had been lost are like sneaking back in. And so it really is a journey. And I love that advice and encouragement, Allie. You always hit the nail on the head.
Thank you. And I agree with you that on that, by the way, time as well. Because in the beginning, I felt like I was operating like a brick wall and I really wasn't myself, but I was navigating a lot. Oh my gosh, I was using so much capacity just to survive. When your body and your nervous system start to transition from that survival mode to trickling into thriving, that it comes back. It does. It really, truly does. And I'm way more myself now. I walk in a room now to somebody that maybe hasn't even seen me through this whole journey, and they go, oh, hey, Allie, like nothing had ever happened. So it can improve for sure.
Yeah. And I love how you said the trickling. I also think on the flip side, the brain injury helped me discover pieces of myself I didn't know I had, you know, like strength and resilience and also surrender, like surrender to the Lord. Because when your own brain isn't firing and functioning the way it should, that is like this really, really warped feeling of being out of control in your own head that kind of caused me to find depths in my soul that I didn't know were there. And I channeled them into songwriting. I never wrote songs before the brain injury. And I now have like 5 albums of original music. You also found something creative after brain injury. Do you want to talk a little bit about your art?
Oh, absolutely. And I will say, by the way, everyone listening, Christabel's music really is phenomenal. So make sure you check it out on whatever platform you listen to music. I'll give you that shout out.
You're so kind. Thank you.
So same thing happened to me where, as I've already explained, my life was very active before and I was creative before, but in that active way, like choreographing for Zumba or creating lesson plans, making posters for the gym. And then after sustaining the injury, when I was at inpatient rehab, I was given watercolor pencils and I played around with them. And then once I got back home, I have an aunt who is an amazing artist. She's my art mentor. She would start to give me supplies here and there, like watercolors and acrylics. And I just started to dabble into what that could look like for me. And now I am an artist with an art business. I started my own art business, thriving with commissions and creating paintings for people. and I enter art shows. I've won art shows. Like, it just, it's one of those things that I think is such a good example. You never know where life's going to take you. And like Christabel said, what abilities you have inside of you that are just waiting to come out. Because I would have never sat down quietly at a desk and painted prior to injury. But now I do it all the time, and it's a real highlight for me. I really enjoy it.
And I have to give you the same shout out. Allie's art is amazing. You can check her out on Instagram. Is it still Embracing Unique?
Yes.
So that's her art Instagram, and Allie Rayum is her, I'll tag all these in the show description. But I mean, your art is beautiful, and she's won multiple awards. She's being humble over there, but she's like won all these awards. And I just love seeing you doing that, and just the joy that comes with it, and the way you're able to love others through your art by doing those commissions and pouring into others is just really beautiful to see that journey. And so as we're going to close out this conversation today, I feel like we could keep talking for hours, but we got to keep this to a certain length, to honor the time of everyone listening as well. So, I want to ask you a couple different people to talk to. Okay. So number one, let's address the person who just got injured. What words of hope would you have for them?
It'll get better. It will, because right now you're at the worst. And I don't usually say that to people, like, and I don't mean it in a way of rainbows and butterflies. It's all good. I don't mean that. I mean, from where you are today, take it one day at a time. One day at a time, you will start to improve. Give yourself grace as you do that.
I love it. Now, what would you say to the person who's had a brain injury for many years and is tired of it?
I hear you. For someone who's been in it for a while and is kind of sick of the journey or not really sure where to go or feeling even stuck, maybe start to try new things. Start to practice going and doing things that may feel uncomfortable or scary to you, because you're at the point where I can guarantee you there's something inside of you that's ready for more. It just may feel a little scary while you're doing it. So keep practicing the mindset of that as well. Your feelings are valid, and just start to challenge yourself a little bit.
I love that encouragement. Yes. Step out of the little comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because you never know what your brain is actually capable of. And plan and pace, right?
Yes.
So it's like, was this red light? Was this yellow light? What's happening here? Observe yourself. Sorry, I just wanted to add that. Bring it back to what you said earlier. Okay, finally, what's your words of hope for a caregiver or a family member or a friend that's listening to this to try and help their loved one?
Well, first, actually support yourself. Don't get so caught up in supporting them that you forget about yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, that will trickle into everything else. So take care of yourself first, and then be patient with the journey. And number one, have honest communication. Check in with yourself and communicate with your loved one, because just because your loved one needs the help, it doesn't mean you have to pretend that nothing is going on for you. So share the joy, share the challenges, talk about it all, and take time to do something fun together, even if it's a quiet activity, so that it's not all caregiving medical based stuff all the time.
That's so good. I love it. All right, Allie, any final encouragement or any final words for our listeners as a whole today?
You are loved, and you are worthy of receiving and asking for all the help that you need. So keep taking it one day at a time and love yourself through the journey.
Beautiful. Thanks, Allie, so much for coming here. If people want to get a hold of you, is Instagram the best place? Is there anywhere else you'd like to direct them?
Instagram is the number one. And then if that doesn't work for you, if you don't use that, I also check Facebook messages and my email too. I have a website as well. So
what's
my email
website link?
It's allierayum.com. So I could share that with you. And all of my contact is on there.
Perfect. We'll direct people there. So thanks so much, Allie. And
thanks
we'll talk
for having
soon.
Me. Yeah. See you, everyone.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned, and would love for you to consider leaving us a rating or a review. Check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. We have support groups. We have Zoom groups. There's always something going on, so I hope to meet you on there. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.